Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the reason why it's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio is because by the end of it, you wonder where the heck it went. And as the old saying goes, time flies when you're having fun. And that's the only rule on this show. Have fun. That's why we don't, you know, get into arguments with the guests, critique them about stuff, and be otherwise mean to them. What do you gain by that? You really only gain ground with good people by doing good things. Why spend your time doing the opposite? I don't get it. Some people have got this, rift between what they want and what they're doing, and they try to close that rift with hate. Got to close it with love, man. Got to close it with openness, ironically. Neil Slade. Okay. sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, that's up at 2:30 right. This morning. Not with it!
I wrote a book called Have Fun, incidentally, Vincent. Now that you mentioned that, Have Fun, Anti-Rules. Anti-Rules.
This reminds me of another good thought that I had last night. If you know any of the best thoughts in the middle of the morning, you create a network that's called the Freedom Underground Network, otherwise the Fun Network.
Oh, yes.
For all this type of commentary and all of that kind of stuff. But, of course, making sure you're just having fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Your brain will reward you with fun when you're going the right direction. Why make yourself miserable, right?
Yeah, it's like fighting against the current. You know, your brain and your body and everything, they tell you to have fun. They tell you to enjoy yourself. But we ignore it and say, no. I have to subject myself to servitude and I have to work really hard so that my boss can get rich and the rest of my money can be taken away from taxation. Okay, that's the honorable thing to do.
Well, that's nature is miraculously intelligent because they've set up your brain so that when you are doing something that's good for you, as a general rule, you feel good about doing it. And if you're doing something that's not good for you, the brain and nature discourages you from going down that road by giving you pain, right? That whole saying of no gain without pain, it's a bunch of baloney. There are some things when you look at the big picture that you say, well, you know what, I gotta do these 10 sit-ups, you know, and even though momentarily it's work, I'll feel good about it in the long run. And that's the genius of nature. The brain rewards you with pleasure and good feelings when you're doing something that's good for you. And it tells you through pain and negative emotion when you're doing something that's not good for you. And that's a good general rule. There are a few little exceptions, but if you use your frontal lobes, you'll be able to detect, you know, those instances where you say, well, you know what, at this point in time I gotta do these sit ups or I gotta put off instant reward for the moment, because in the long run, I'm going to feel much better for doing this thing. So nature's pretty smart in that way. I wanted to read you this one quote. There's a guy named Robert Schneider who lives in Cambodia. And I had interviewed him for this book. And he had contacted me years ago. He had been working in this yacht factory in, I think it was Pennsylvania at the time. And he was having a miserable time. And he told me, he says, people would do stuff at this boat building factory. Like if someone did something that you didn't like, you would like staple his hand to the side of a boat. Right? It was very, very kind of difficult environment. Lots of toxic chemical fumes. The place was freezing, and he had been practicing this kind of amygdala tickling exercise where you just kind of imagine a feather inside your head, and you just kind of you locate your amygdala, and you imagine a feather, right? And then you just tickle on one. You've got two amygdala in your brain, right? You've got one on the right side and one on the left side. So the exercise is where you just imagine a feather and you tickle your amygdala. And he was doing it, and one day it all clicked. And so he told me, and I'll just read this little quote. So Robert says, but anyway, one day I was driving along thoroughly depressed, and I did a little amygdala click and became completely blissed out. That's what he said. And I laughed when he told me this. And I said, you weren't taking any drugs, correct? And he says, no drugs whatsoever. But it was as if I had taken a very strong one. It was that big a change. That feeling persisted for a good 6 or 8 months, I guess. A permanent high. Every time I tickled forward, I'd get on a big high. It was simply that flip, that simple little flip of the amygdala. This is what is so extraordinary to me, that it happened and that there wasn't anything subtle about it. It was just a complete change of outlook. So what he's telling us in this statement is that he was able to access these very, very powerful chemicals that your brain manufactures. And it's a fact. Your brain makes these chemicals that are like 100 times more powerful than heroin. Literally. They're called endorphins and enkephalins. And if you can figure out how to kind of flip that little switch to increase those naturally occurring painkillers and euphoric chemicals in your brain, I mean, it's very empowering. You no longer are at the mercy of your boss or the environment or whoever won the last election, or you're no longer at the mercy of having $1 million. You don't need $1 million in the bank anymore because you've got access to your own brain and these extremely powerful chemicals. And he would, in particular, he was in a very negative situation. He had just, you know, he was at a job that he hated. His wife had just divorced him. His father had just died. And yet he was able to tickle this little switch in his brain. And he's not an insane guy. I mean, you know, he had just kind of figured out, okay, what do I have to do to flip this little switch? And for him, it was this humongous transformation. And you know, it's in everybody's brain. Everybody can kind of, you know, everyone has access and to that ability to kind of flip things around like that. You just got to know where the switch is and what flips it.
It's kind of like knowing your triggers if you've got an anger problem.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, I mean, and what I tried this past year was trying to figure out, well, okay, I know how I tickle my amygdala, but that's not necessarily how you're going to do it. Everybody's an individual. Everybody's brain circuitry is a little bit different. And like you said, you know, answer that question, who am I? So you figure out who you are and you figure out what tickles your amygdala and you do that. And then maybe you look at how somebody else is doing it and you add that onto your menu. You say, well, okay, I turn on my brain. I know this works, but you know, if that doesn't work one day, what are my options? And so you kind of, you open yourself up to all these different methods, you know, by which you can access all this infinity brain power inside your brain. And I think that's the real secret, is if there is a secret, is just, you know, not put any limitations on yourself and get information and see how other people are doing it.
Mm. Somebody told me the other day that there is no secret. It hasn't been a secret. Even the book, The Secret, is revealing something that ain't a secret, you know. And the whole idea of a secret is it's deliberately being kept from everybody, and you can't access it for want of money or power or anything like that.
No, I agree with you.
Whereas this doesn't qualify. This is something that's always been there. It's more of a forgotten memory than a secret.
Oh, I agree with you. You know, that book in particular kind of irks me because I think that book really emphasizes the accumulation of material stuff, or maybe it's status, or it's saying, oh, okay, if you imagine getting something, you'll get it. And I think that's going down the wrong path.
If I may, if you need something, you'll get it. That's a better mentality. Because I want a whole lot of things, Neil, you know, to help me with this radio show. But there's only a few things that I need, like, you know, food, power, water, bread, you know, that kind of stuff. Having my car fixed so I can go to protests, et cetera. And I've found since doing this radio show thing, all of those things that I need turn up for me. All of those things that I want, I have to work 10 times harder than I currently am in order to earn them.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I think, you know, what you really need is far less than what we desire or what we want. And for me, I think that that book, The Secret, really shifts people away from that. Instead of, allowing people to focus on what is internal inside your head, it's saying, well, oh, if you have $1 million, just imagine you have $1 million and then it'll come your way. Or, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with accumulating some things or accomplishing goals. But I think the focus should really be on how you feel inside. And how, you know, what's going on in between your two ears? What's going on between your behind your eyes? And if you can focus on that, I think you're going to answer a lot more questions, and ultimately you're going to be a whole lot more satisfied with whatever you just happen to have, rather than be focused on the accumulation of status or material goods or money or whatever. And I think that's the great mistake of that book, The Secret. Besides, I agree with you. I don't think there are any secrets out there.
What's funny is I was speaking to James Wright, who's a kind of paid member of the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite, 33rd degree kind of thing. And one of the things that come out in the conversations with him and say Freda Rex as well, and other Freemasons, is that although it's a secret society, if you come up and ask the right questions, they will tell you the answers. You have to ask the questions in a very, very specific way that's already been outlaid, though.
Now, what is this society called?
The secret society known as the Freemasons.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the world's largest secret society, 1 million members, and 100 members who are 33rd degree, which are the highest of the Scottish Rite, which isn't Freemasonry at all. It's just kind of like a parasite on what Freemasonry used to be about self-expansion, and instead it's just turned it all into dark occulted mysticism and attempting to provoke demon worshipping and the governing of immoral men over the minds of others.
Well, allow me to ask you a question, if I may. So mm-hmm. So we've been talking about, you know, brain feedback, and I think you've got a kind of basic understanding of what this amygdala organ does. You know, how it's this feed. If you were to tell someone how you tickle your amygdala, what would you tell them? How do you tickle your amygdala? How do you turn on that positive emotional feedback? You know, what turns it on for you?
It's randomness. My brain works in a really weird way, but it works. And you hang out with me for long enough, it doesn't matter what you're doing with me, whether you're talking about deep philosophy, technology, or just shooting the breeze and having a few drinks. Almost every second sentence or whatever, things will be said that I will turn into a joke of some kind. So you have this, like the amygdala is a permanent, and the brain a permanent, infinite something generator. I've become to embody that I myself am an infinite cackle generator, capable of generating cackles far beyond my means, and on a rather consistent basis. And I think it's because I'm so silly. You know, I take everything and think about things very, very seriously, yet I'm aware of it, but I've shed my fear of it, if that makes any sense. And that's how I tickle my amygdala, is I make fun of all these things that terrify me.
So it sounds like you really like to tap into this humorous perspective. At the same time, you like the surprise, the non-predictability. And it sounds like the reward from you comes from this kind of improvisation, right? And riding by the seat of your pants. And
well, my brother is a surfer, right?
Yeah.
And the way I've just described myself with humor, and the way you kind of put it, sort of riding it as it were, is the exact same sensation he feels when he goes surfing. You're in the zone, and you're being carried, and there's something pushing you that's renewable, like waves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm talking about. All right, well, we're coming up to break now. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, with the rather stimulating, in the amygdala sense of the word, Neil Slade.